The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yosef Greenwald, Dayan at the Beis Havad of Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. The center can be reached for halachic services, consultations, and shilas at 888-485-VAAD or at thehalachacenter.org.
Sochem Daf Samachay. We're going to take a break in Yitzhak Hashem this shiur from the more esoteric Kotchim Dikin Yonim we've been discussing the last 6 or 7 blah. We'll go to some basic Hilchus Shabbos. There's a brisa over here in Samachay Omid Aleph. The Gemara brings a brisa, different types of Melechus Shabbos. Choylev, Mechabetz, Megavin, Kegroigris, the Shir is Kegroigris, Mechabet, Merabet. Tyson discusses exactly what's Yem Melechus, what's not a Melechus. The Gemara really brings this in as a side point, but I'd like to discuss one of the areas of Melechus that's brought down this brisa and see how it figures into some halacha life in a very real way. Megavin means somebody who produces cheese. Gvina is cheese. Megavin is somebody who makes cheese. The process is taking out the curd of the milk, isolating it, and hardening it, fermenting it until it turns into cheese. Which is why hard cheese, the Rishonim tell us in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Basar v'Cholov, since it's fermented, it's salty, and it leaves a very strong aftertaste. Not like the processed cheese that we use, which is just milk with some other stuff thrown in, American cheese and such. But the real cheese, you can get them from Switzerland. They eat them with wine. They're quite salty. And that's made by fermenting the cheese. That process of hardening the curd until it turns into cheese is called megabein. It's a melacha. Which melacha? The Rishonim say it's the melacha of boine. Why is it boine? Because one is building a structure, one is putting together pieces to turn it into a structure which is something that's lasting. Okay, so that's the... This is brought down also in Shabbos Daf Tzadik Hei. There's a Tosfos over there which is interesting. Legabe Yom Tov, L'chorif, making cheese would be mutar Yom Tov because Malach Tzorchon Nefesh. Then with the process of Mitoich, which was discussed earlier in the Masechta, in the third parak, there should be a heter with Malachis Yom Tov to building a house. Taisa discussed that. It's an interesting question. The Rishonim deal with it in different ways. But in any case, I want to discuss on a more simple level. Megavin is a melacha. There's a question whether Yesh Binyan or Stir B'Kelim. The machlokes is really Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Basic machlokes. We paskin Ein Binyan or Stir B'Kelim. What does this mean, Ein Binyan or Stir B'Kelim? Is a person allowed to build whatever he wants? Is there no melacha in putting together a fridge? So when something is attached to the ground, that's for sure that even if one didn't build it from scratch, one only attached it. For instance, putting a door on hinges or putting a sliding window into the window pane is, of course, into the frame. Sliding the window pane into the frame is certainly a malacha because one is being moisive on something, even if one is not making it from scratch. One is just putting together something and adding, being moisif on a binyan shel keva, which is mechub lekarka, is of course an av melacha of boina. The question is only binyan or stir b'kelim when something is not mechub lekarka. So this is machlokes, like we said, Beis Shammai. We paskin ein binyan or stir b'kelim, and still the Rishonim argue that this might only be by kli leprokim. There were certain types of beds, there were traveling type of beds, where over there was a machlokes, and we say ein binyan or stir b'kelim, you're allowed to put together. It was leprokim, it was made out of pieces that were joined together. It was some type of traveling bed. The pieces were joined together. That is not a melacha. But what about making a kli from scratch? The Rishonim say that ma'od yitochen it is an av melacha. Of course, by the way, which we'll get back to, there's another av melacha called makeh b'patish, the finishing touch on any product and anything that's made, on any kli especially that's made, has a shame of makeh b'patish. That's an av melacha for itself. So of course making something from scratch totally would be a av melacha makeh b'patish. But let's talk about the iser melacha of boine. Making a whole kli, this is machlokes Rishonim, how do we paskin? The question is, if you want to say that binyan is not a melacha on Shabbos because it's b'kli, is there any havamina? Because it's not a davar chashuv, it's not called, you're not building something that's lasting. If it's only metalking, it's not mechub lekarka, it's not called a binyan. Is a piece of cheese a binyan? Is it less a binyan than putting together a mixer or building a doll carriage? Hard to believe. The Rishonim point out that according to the Shita that holds that Ein Binyan Nistiru B'Kelim, Megavin is only Dirabonon. Of course, there's Binyan Nistiru B'Kelim Midirabonon. If it's making a Kli, like we said, it's not a Kli Shol Prokim. If you're making a Kli Sholim, it's certainly a Melacha Dirabonon. The whole Simen Shin Yud Gimel and Hilchos Shabbos is full of different types of Yisurim, of Binyan Ustiru B'Kelim. Megavin would also only be Dirabonon. The Pshat in the Braisa, when the Braisa says that these things are Melachin, Amalachas, Choylen, Mechabetz, Megabin, etc., are all Dirabonon, and so are some of the others. So, Lamoshal, let's say the Braisa says also Choylev. Choylev is milking a cow. Some Rishonim hold that that's a Malacha Deraisa. Why is that a Malacha Deraisa? It's a Malacha Deraisa of Dosh. It's squeezing a liquid out of something solid, out of a place that it came from. It's like squeezing out a grape. It's Dosh. Other Rishonim, if you hold that Megabin is Dirabonon, then you also hold Shad and the Braisa that we're talking about Dirabonon, then Choylev is Dirabonon. Why is that? The Rishonim say, because Ein Gisha B'Bal Chai. By the way, this is an important point in Halacha about milking a cow being Dirabonon, because the Rishonim understand that Choylev by Isha, nursing, is also Choylev, you're also squeezing out. She's also squeezing out milk from a something, someplace where it's contained. The act of squeezing liquid out of someplace where it's contained and freeing the liquid from its place of residence in the solid is that the act of chaylev, the act of dosh. Is a woman who squeezes that. Now, nursing for a baby is a maisa achila. It's not a maisa dosh. Even though it's the same thing, the milk is going to the baby's mouth, but that's not a maisa achila. Similar is also if a woman b'mokum tzar, where there's very often it happens, women after birth fill up with milk and the baby can't suck out the milk yet. Sometimes the baby, the mother and the baby struggle to get a successful nursing relationship, but the woman is filling up with milk, can be quite painful and it can be quite dangerous also if the infection spreads. Obviously the milk has to be squeezed out. The way to do it is to squeeze it li'ibud. Milk which is going li'ibud, the chaza, it's not only that it's an isra d'rabbanan, it's not an isra at all. If the milk goes li'ibud, the liquid that comes out of the solid is not ever contained in a way that it could be used as liquid, it's not considered a malacha at all. The famous application of that is by nursing. What the woman would do is she would squeeze out some of the milk, which is causing her the painful infection, into a cup or into a pump, into the container of the pump with some salt or some liquid soap inside. That would effectively kill the milk, and the mele wouldn't be also even the rabbanon. In the same way, dosh, which goes li'ibud, is not dosh. The same is true. The Rishonim say in Hilchas Dosh in Shulchan Aruch that a liquid which is not by itself, but the liquid goes straight into a salad, would also not be. The famous example that the Rambam brings is squeezing a lemon onto fish. Interestingly enough, so the way to eat salmon is to squeeze a thing of lemon on top. Squeezing the lemon onto the fish, since the liquid is going to the salad, again, not squeezing lemon into tea because that's making into a liquid. You're squeezing the liquid and you're putting it with other liquid. But squeezing it onto the fish, the way the Rambam says, it would be more to do some discussion. We won't get into it now. In any case, if we say that the pshat and the braisa, chelul is derabon and gvin is derabon, what I was pointing at is that what's the nafkamina with the nursing is, what would be, is the nursing where it's the milk is to be used, and is it derabon and is the raisa has nafkaminas when there's a child that's not well? Where it's much better for the child to have the mother's milk, of course today it's not disputed, it's much healthier, and it's healthier for the child, for the newborn infant to have his own mother's milk, because the antibodies in the mother's milk is whatever the child needs at that level of development. One of the Pili Habriya, one of the Chokmas of the Ashgacha Pratis, how the Rebbeinu Shlomo sets up this world, is that the milk of a mother is exactly in tune with the needs of her baby at that age and in that situation. In any case, if there's a child that's fighting for his life, chalil, if a baby's born with an infection in the heart, that type of thing, where the baby is literally at risk and there's a shadow of infection, the antibodies in the mother's milk is certainly a shadow of pekuch nefesh. Then we tell the mother to nurse into a cup without thinking twice. That's mamash a shadow of pekuch nefesh, and there's no Shabbos b'mkayim pekuch nefesh. But where we're talking about child that's a little bit older, Chodesh Ein Bo Sakana, it would be better. The question is whether for a Chodesh Ein Bo Sakana, a child is a Chodesh Ein Bo Sakana, by the way, an infant certainly is, if it's only an Issedur Rabbanan, it's questionable. Lamai say they're machmir, because they understand that that milking is deraisa. They're machmir, even b'makim choyli. But ask, because sometimes there are tzurufim that would render it mutter. In any case, let's get back to binyan. We were talking about megavin. What about like we say, the malacha of hoyne and soyso also together? The same as the malacha of binyan is also malacha of dismantling something on Shabbos. Soyso, would there be stira and kalim? So there's a problem. The Rishonim ask, the Achronim ask a problem that the sugi and Shabbos says clearly that one is allowed to, if one wants to make a fire on Yom Tov, where there's no issur deraisa of making a fire, one can use kalim, burn up kalim in a fire to fuel a fire in order to be able to cook. The million-dollar question is, what happened to stiras kalim? So what the Achronim suggest is that stiras kli is only when you take apart the pieces in a way where the pieces are left that you can build something. That's a maisa stira. Even if you don't plan on building it, where it's not a malach derais, it's not soysa almanas livnois, but the act of soysa is dismantling where the pieces are intact. You have the raw material to build again. But burning something where it's, the pieces are being destroyed and are no longer, is not considered an act of soysa. The Sameach, Ramei Simcha, brings an interesting raya from the fact that Shviras Etzim become Pesach as a loisa, say. Learning Yitzhak Hashem later on in Daf Pegimel, Pedal, Pehej. Breaking a bone of Karban Pesach is a lav deraisa in Parshas Boy. Burning a bone of Karban Pesach is not. What's the pshat? Because it's not called stira. You're not breaking it into two. You're burning it. You're destroying it. It's no longer. It's an interesting raya from Ramei Simcha. But in any case, getting back to boina, if megavein is boina, what about grating cheese? Could one grate cheese on Yom Tov? Is that stiras kalim? If making the cheese is binyan, like sort of like binyan kalim, could it be that destroying the cheese, grating the cheese, is stira? So again, one has to say that when you turn something into an oichel, you're not turning it into material that could be worked with. So mele, there wouldn't be shayach a soyser by, since it's oimid, to turn into oichel, it's not the tzura of destroying it, is not turning it into food. So mele, that would not, and also the way it's used is, it's not stira, because the way cheese is used is by grating and turning it into pieces that you could eat. So it's not called the stira of the cheese, that's called using the cheese. That would not be an act of stira. This svara has an interesting application. If we say that every time you're a soys or something, but even that the stira is the way of its use, then that's not a malacha, then let's discuss for a second lighting a candle on Yom Tov obviously is mutter. There's no malacha of hadlaka on Yom Tov. One could light Shabbos candles. What happens if you're out of Shabbos candles? The only thing you have is one of those fancy, if you're ever in Tzvas and you go into the wax factory over there, they have beautiful candles that are made in all sorts of different tzuras. Now, they're not supposed to be, people don't buy them in order to use them for Shabbos candles. It's a lot of money to buy something that, you know, you could spend $100 on something, some stunning artistic candles. You're not planning on using it for a Shabbos light. But what happens, let's say you're left without any Shabbos candles, and it comes Yom Tov, you have a mitzvah, the Rabbanu, would you be able to light it? Since that's oimid, to stay, then burning it, l'chayr would be a stira of the kli. There's no malacha mitzvah, the burning. Yom Tov, you're allowed to light candles. But there would be a malacha of stiras kelim, because the artwork in the candle is a kli, it's a davishal kayama, and it's not to be used, the way to use it is not by burning it is destruction. So we don't have the svar that we just said before, where the burning is not stir, over here you are being soysen. So mamela, there would be a mokim to be done, that to use such a candle on Yom Tov maybe would be awesome. In any case, legabi binyan bekelim, so the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Yud Gimel says that to glue things together, or to drill it together, or to put it together with a nail in a way that it becomes one kli, what they call tkiah, not tkiah as in blowing, but tkiah as in attaching firmly together two somethings in order to form a kli, would be a malacha deraisa b'chayv katas. that would be a malach. It's not a binyan shel prochim, like we said, we pass like bezil. It's something where you're taking two pieces that are not meant to be joined, and you mold them together, you weld them together, you nail, drill them together. That's a malach of deraisa. Two things that are stuck together, like pieces of a leg of a couch that you stuff onto the couch, or any something else where you're pieces that are put firmly together, legs of a chair, carriages, there are a lot of different pieces of kelim where you have to push them together hard. That's an issur derabbanan, because we're choshish that you're going to nail them together. But if it's something where the chibur is rough, where the chibur is a soft chibur and it comes and it goes apart easily, that is mutter. Chazal were not geizer on that. This is in Arachayim Shin Yud Gimel Sif Vav. What's interesting is the machlokes, the Magen Avraham and the Taz, about hiduk, about attaching something, where it's not screwed together in a permanent way, it's not drilled together, but it's screwed together. Screwed together is a screw you can put in, put out. It's not permanently one piece, but you screw it together to make one kli. Would that be considered a tkiyo, which would be also midaraisa, or it would be midrabon? It's machlokes, the Magen Avraham and the Taz. What about if it's rough wood and mutter? So here's a question. What would be if the putting together of something is relatively easy? You don't have to hammer them together, you don't have to attach them, and you don't even have to put them together hard. It's not even hiduk. The textbook definition of hiduk is something where you have to push things together with force. That would be awesome with the rabban. But what about something that you could just push into place very easily? It's mutter. Rafa is mutter. It's relatively easy to get out, it's relatively easy to go in. But what about something that lasts for a long time? It's not meant to come in and out, it's meant to last. For instance, a baby swing. Very often the pieces of the baby swing go together, the swing part together with the stand goes together it snaps together with a spring. The spring is relatively easy to snap together, the parts that go together with the spring, and it comes out pretty easily, but it's meant to be lizman rav. Pashtus is that it would be awesome, midrabonon. Not also midaraisa, because they're not welded together, they're not turned into one piece. They snap together, but the pashtu, since it's meant to stay that way, you don't have the heter of rofui, it would be awesome. Another case that comes to mind is the screw comes up all the time, the screws in glasses. The screw in glasses, since it's put tightly in, could be a chshash of tkiya. Putting in a lens, you know, where the lens falls out, and you're not putting in the screw on the side of the glasses, could be that the poskim nemon that is exeris shemi yitka, that you're going to put them together and you're going to weld it together, because it's something that goes in, but it could be held together with more force. So there also we would ask them there after the glasses would be mukta, because once it's exeris shemi yitka, Chazal also asked her that you're not allowed to carry it around. Interesting to point out, if we're talking about glasses anyways, is that attaching the screw of the glass, like we're saying, could be boina, but what about makom patish? Forget about boina for a second. It's makom patish. You're putting the final touch. So here we say, Chazal say, the makom patish is only when that piece was never in before. If the piece was anyways part of that thing, the screw that popped out of the glasses, you want to put that identical screw in, that's not makom patish. Since it was there already, you're not creating something by putting it back. It's not trying to get back glass, because like we're saying, there's a chashash of boina, where it's more to get shoelaces that pop out of shoes. If the shoelace came out, you want to put back in the same shoelace, what would be the problem? There's no boina on shoelaces, but there is a problem of makom patish. If shoelace is ripped, and you want to put in a new shoelace, that's also the deraisa, it could be, because it's makom patish. But putting in the old shoelace that slipped out, that would not be makom patish, because it was there before. That's usually where this comes up. Last, but of course not least, let's talk about when we talk about Binyan Mikalim, Lego and clicks. Now, I think that there's a difference between the two of them. Just from playing with my kids a little bit, I see that the clicks come apart easier than the Lego. Yeah, I don't have stock in the clicks company. I have no negias to say this. But it feels to me like the clicks is more a hiduk rofui than a hiduk. There are those that want to answer Lego because they say that that's hiduk. And there would be an issur derabbanan putting it together. You put them together. Sometimes the Lego, especially when you're cleaning them before Pesach, if you're in a rush, could be quite hard to pull apart the pieces. The clicks are easier. I think the clicks are partial that they're mutter. The discussion of the Paiskim, Shlomo Zalman, Rav Eliyashiv, others that wrote on the topic 25 years ago, I think was only on Lego, not on clicks. The Lego goes together hard. There is a svar, the Chaznish says, that anything that's made to put together and take apart, and there's nothing more to made to put together and take apart than Lego, it's not meant to go together. It's meant to put together and then take apart. Put together and then take apart. If that's the case, the Chaznish says, that's not boina. The whole inyan of the binyan is only for pirul. You're putting it together only to take apart. It's not boina and then soisa. It's not together in the first place. That's not called a chibur, if it's meant to be taken apart. I was one time thinking, if you go into the big, huge toy stores, go into Toys R Us, or in the old days, it was F.A.O. Schwartz in Manhattan, what would be the halacha when they build those big Lego displays, and you have the train sets going around through the big Lego things, where they're putting up these Lego masterpieces, they're meant to stand there for 15 years. Would you have the head of the Chaznish? Maybe not. In any case, would there be an issur of binyan, or do we say that it's made to come apart? Again, maybe it's not made to come apart, b'chiyah gavna. What they say is, if Shlomo Zalman suggests letting the kids play with it, because it's a chshash rochuk of binyan, even the Rabban, it's a chshash rochuk, he says that the older kids, the adults shouldn't, I mean, maybe that's not the only reason, the adults shouldn't sit down and play with the kids Lego on Shabbos, because there is a mokim lachmir for chinuch reasons. It's good not to be mekel. That's what Shlomo Zalman says. So these are some of the issues that come up when we're talking about Hilchos Binyan Mekelim, which we're talking about in reference to Megavein and other related subjects.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halachic services or consultations, or to present a shaila, please call 1-888-485-VAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. Or email info@thehalachacenter.org.